What is up? Another threesome podcast with Lex and Stacy. How you doing, my dear?
I am fine. How are you?
Doing great. How are things in freezing fucking Michigan?
It's fucking freezing.
Yeah.
Yes. Way early, at least a month before, you know, before normally we have this type of weather. That wind is howling right now. The wind chill's like in the single digits. It's awful.
Yeah, we have weather here that's a little beyond that as well. And it's funny to watch the TV and the news and weather people make issue with it. And it's always an Arctic blast.
The polar vortex.
Where the fuck do you think it's coming from?
Well, Mexico, of course.
You know, seriously, does it ever come from the south where the equator is? No. I mean, you people on TV talk to us like we're so fucking stupid. It just blows my mind. I want to punch you in the face when I watch you on TV. I know you need to dumb it down for some people, but you need to heighten your senses a little bit towards us normal people. I realize I'm not building any shuttles, but I know where the fucking cold comes from. I've seen a globe. I know where our cold weather comes from. I know it's not the South Pole. Okay.
Well, there are those, though, that might say that it comes from the south and it's so cold it comes up over the equator and then pushes itself up from the southern United States.
Yeah, but that's not what they're going with here.
I know. And that doesn't happen.
You know, it's I don't give a fuck where it originates. I just want to know how long it's going to be till we're freezing our asses off, which most of them tell you.
I think it's here.
Thank God Lisa's parents live in Oklahoma, so they're our best weather source because we get what they get.
Really?
Yeah, just a day later. You know, it's pretty much the way it works. So something badass is coming and it hits them. We're getting it. We're getting 24 hours notice.
That's kind of not quite so much 24 hours, but anything in Chicago is usually, you know, within half a day away from us.
Yeah.
Where I am.
Exactly. And, you know, there's always that reference point where you have a little bit of time to get your shit together before you get hit. But she's in yoga school right now, so I'm having to walk the dogs before I come to work at 4 a.m.
Oh, fun.
And, of course, right as she starts, so does the cold weather. So I'm having to bundle my ass up to go out there.
I broke out today the big, huge, giant snow boots. And it wasn't because we do have snow on the ground, but you can still kind of see the grass poking up through it.
Yeah.
It's just more for the warmth. It is so freaking cold. I went out there in like a bomber hat. They actually had the clasp hooked under my chin and had like my Carhartt on with, you know, the hood up and everything. It's like, screw that.
That Carhartt's the shit, isn't it?
I love it.
Oh, man. I got one of those for Samantha's horse shows, which can get pretty bad, you know, because they take place in January, February. And, you know, it can... You know, March 15th, 2 or 3 years ago, I took her to a show in 15-degree weather.
That sucks.
And that little thing in her blue coat and all that went out there without a jacket on or anything and did all five of her rounds.
Good.
And basically ended up with a bunch of blues for it because nobody else wanted to fuck with it.
It's the best way to win.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she used to win all the time anyway, but that day was easy. She had the only horse that wasn't running out of the ring. There was like this little tack shop or something that had those plastic things that hang, you know, so you keep the worm in, but you know, you can just kind of walk through them to go in there.
Right.
And the wind was blowing those things, and every time the horse rounded the corner, including hers, the first couple rounds, it was just like, And you know, just like, what the fuck is that flying all over the place? You know,
you would think horse people would have given that more thought.
So her trainer basically came up with a way to make sure the horse didn't see that, kind of pulling his head in a certain direction.
Right.
But still jamming the leg into him so he was going straight for her, but his head was kind of looking to the left where the jump was. And sure enough, she was like the only one that really got over, you know. Everybody else had crazy motherfuckers.
For the type of stuff that she does, would blinders help at all for like the side view?
No, they can't do that because they kind of need to see where they're going also. You know, the horses kind of instinctively, you know how many strides they need and so on and so forth. A good horse does anyway.
Right.
And some of them are dumb as shit and...
Just kind of go.
Yeah. You know, and those are the ones that cost next to nothing. The ones that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars are the ones that know exactly what to do.
Right.
In any weather conditions, any place, anywhere, they kick ass. Then there's the ones like we have where some days they'll do that and other days they just won't.
See, my donkeys won't walk in the snow. They pretty much live inside their little barn, which they have. They can freely come and go out of the barn. You know, there's not a door on it or anything.
But they won't.
And, right, in the winter, they're just like, screw that.
Which is good, because you only have to go one place to pick up caca.
Yes.
Better known on this show is donkey shit.
Yes.
We can say donkey shit on the Threesome podcast.
We can.
Not so much on the Lex and Terry show. We have to come up with different names for shit on there.
And what's the most creative?
Oh, like, I don't even know. There's been many creative names for dicks and pussies and shit and, you know. I think our latest pussy reference is the girly parts.
Gotcha.
Of course, you still get in trouble if you say he fucked her in the girly parts.
Yes. Thanks, Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm. That's where it all started.
Yep. The decline of American radio as we know it.
Boy, the shit rained down on us on that day. Woo! And what kills me is TV just skated.
I know. I'm certainly not offended by it, but it's still, when I hear someone call someone a dick on network TV, it's kind of like, whoa. Apparently that's a-okay now, you know. Well, and I've heard balls a few times. And
hey, you watch FX, you know, you'll see some ass, you'll see some grinding, you'll see all kinds of shit on there.
Right. I just meant like, you know, the top three, the NBCs. The
yeah. And watch, hey, if you watch like Scandal and stuff like that, there's all kinds of shit going on. The last episode of Scandal, the first lady got her top ripped off. You know, and
completely, or was she like in a bra?
No, she was in a scantily red bra, but still, you know, it's like, it's not something I would have seen on TV growing up, that's for sure. It was, basically a White House rape scene almost.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, it's come a long way. I mean, I'm glad TV is able to express itself a little more. But for radio not to be able to is ridiculous.
Yes. I don't even know. You know, it's been so long now, and I just don't care so much. I just think that they figure, since it's on the decline, quote unquote, according to the experts and everything, why even bother? Which is unfortunate, because I think that's probably what it needs to do in order to compete.
Yeah. It most certainly does.
But, you know, I look at it like a restaurant. I mean, here in Michigan, you can't smoke in any establishment now. But that actually only happened like a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were certainly restaurants like where I live that would boldly and proudly proclaim on their sign, you know, this is a no smoking establishment. And that was totally their prerogative. And, you know, I know they got certain business because of people that didn't want to smell the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just never went to them.
And also certain business they didn't get because of it.
Exactly. But I think the same thing with radio. I mean, I would leave it up to an owner. You know, if you want this to be a raunchy radio station, then have at it. If you don't, if you want to get the kids and the moms who are driving their kids to school and everything, then great.
Listen, the sponsors police it pretty much as is. You know, they really do. You know, it's like if you're raunchy and all that, they're not going to buy you. You're going to end up on a list. You're not going to get bought, and you'll shoot yourself in the head as far as having a job. You don't need the FCC for it. But every once in a while, if a fuck slips out or a shit or something like that, you know, or you're a little more descriptive than maybe you should be, you know, at least should lose your job.
I said ape shit on the air a couple of years ago.
Yeah, see, that's something that just comes out, you know.
Yeah, I did, and it was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Because it was about as Christian and Republican as you could be without actually being a Christian station.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry.
Yeah. And that's all you can say is, and when you do it, it's like, oh, God, I'm sorry.
I can tell you, I got a better idea of how many people were listening after that, because for like a few weeks afterwards, I was like, hey, I heard you say ape shit on the air.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so you do listen.
Oh, man. If I would have had social media at the time, I told Howie to hit the fucking button. That would have
nice.
That would have been crazy.
I still remember. I'm not going to say what you said, but you guys were talking about some BMW or something that you had been given. You and Terry had to ride around Orlando or something in.
Yeah.
And we went to commercial break. And you started in on that car, but being more Lexi Poo about it. And that was when the studio door flew open and a visibly shaken and out of breath Michelle flung the door open and went, "Your mic's still on! Your mic is still on!"
Oh, wow.
Do you remember that?
No. Because it happened so many times.
She had darted, because that was at Hogan Road. So, you know, her office was like at the far end, kitty corner. You know, she had done like an OJ and had just flown over people, like getting into the studio.
Yep. Looking out for her boy.
Mike is still on. Mike is still on.
Looking out for her boy, man.
And then I believe you crawled up Scott's ass about that.
Yeah. I believe so. So many times. I mean, oops. Really. I love the man, but dude. Seriously.
I'll tell you when we're done what you said. It was pretty awful.
Yeah. What, was it about the car?
It was what you two looked like as you were riding around in it.
Why can't you say?
Okay, I'm going to say it right now. If nobody hears it, it's because Lex is edited out of the podcast. You were like, in your big Lex voice, was like, "We look like a couple of dick suckers."
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and get that one. Yeah, my apologies. How terrible of me. And that got on the air?
Oh, apparently it was heard over the commercial that was running. Just locally, I don't think over the network.
Oh my God. That's funny.
She was white. Michelle was. Mm-hmm. All blood had drained to like the lower extremities of her body.
Yeah, she didn't want her boy getting fired. She and I were the firing twins. She had to sit in on all firings.
Yes. I am aware.
The one guy I had to fire basically was because he wasn't coming in and doing his production on time, and we were missing spots and stuff like that, and he was also the night guy. So we pull him in the office, and I go, look, I've given you repeated warnings about this. You know, you don't seem to take it seriously. It's costing us money, and I don't like getting visits from upstairs over revenue. So I got to make a change. And he goes, and I said, but, you know, the late thing is never going to get fixed. You're just not going to fix it. And he goes, late? I'm not late. And I said, you showed up at 5:20 for your 5 o'clock firing. And she was fighting back all the laughter she could. I said, so, not a great day for you to be late.
Okay, as a program director, I have a radio question for you, because this has eaten at me for years. When I was early on in my career, I worked at a top 40 station. I did overnights there.
Yeah.
And so I had to be in at, I'm trying to think, I think I had to be there at 11. I think my shift started at 11. The program director would, and it was a standing thing, because again, and you knowing me, CHR was never something that I should have been in. I don't have that energy level to do top 40.
You didn't even have to do this.
No, I'm just droning. If you want to be lulled into a false sense of security, yeah, I'm your girl.
You're like that music at spas.
But he would have me come in every day, weekday, at 7 p.m. so that he could air check me. However, he actually only air checked me like maybe once or twice a week. He would have me sit there in the waiting room from 7 until sometimes up until it was time for me to go on the air. And then he'd just say, hey, I'm not going to get to you tonight.
Wow.
This went on for months.
Yeah, he's just a dick.
Okay. Because it was like, really?
I never did air check meetings. That drove all my bosses crazy. You know, it's like, do you have air check meetings with him? I'm like, no, I listen to the fucking radio. It's my job.
Right.
I don't need an air check meeting. I sit in my office all day. I hear the morning, midday, and afternoon show, and then I listen at night. I don't give a fuck what the overnight person does.
I was going to say, were you one of those people that would call the hotline? Because he would do that. It would be 3 a.m., and he would call. I'd see that hotline ringing, and it's like, damn it.
Only if it was like super egregious, you know, like a CD was skipping or something like that. You know, something along those lines. But for content or saying a word wrong or not, you know, talking too long or whatever, I would just make a note of it and tell him later.
That's the quickest way to ruin someone, you know, especially if you thought you had a flow going, you know, and then you see that hotline, it just like cuts you off right there. It's like, all right, I'm not going to have a good night now.
No, I mean, you know, my mentors in programming were all guys that didn't do that, you know, so I never worked for a person like that.
He was a rich kid. His daddy was a lawyer, and his daddy bought him on the radio station.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like some power-hungry a-hole. You can't do anything about that. But I never had to work for anybody like that. I did have to work for somebody that was completely clueless, and that was the worst. I mean,
when you encounter those people, though, I've learned that you just kind of start doing your own thing, and then you make sure that it's sort of within the parameters. It's not going to get you into trouble.
Well, this person was micromanaging clueless, so you couldn't do that. He wanted to play 5,000 records. It wasn't even possible to put that many in an RCS system, so we had to have them fly down and make it so they could expand the program to handle more than 5,000 songs.
Wow.
And the consultant, one of them, we had two different ones, but one of the consultants was on board with this. You know, we were being used like a guinea pig, basically, to play all these off-kilter album tracks and everything. And the station just sounded so sluggish and so unhip and so slow. And it's like, man, it took me weeks upon weeks to get all those songs in there, because that was my job. and, you know, the computer was crashing all the time. I was having to, like, you know, take 3 or 4 hours a day just to spit a log out because it was always jamming up and all that. I mean, it was absolutely brutal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and obviously it was a ratings failure. You know, there were some songs. There were so many songs. There was songs that are getting played once a year.
Oh.
You know, in his special clock that he had designed. You know, and it's like everything I was ever taught about programming, you know, was you know, 4,500 songs less than this. You know?
Right.
You know,
no, and, exactly.
Yeah. And you know, I said to him more than once, I'm like, you do realize people listen to the radio 22 minutes at a time. You do realize that, right? Somebody's told you that. Please tell me somebody's told you that. Let's just for grins double it to 44 minutes. You know, we're never going to satisfy a complete audiophile. Right. There's just not enough of them out there. Yeah, so that was the hardest person to work for. You know, and to add insult to injury, we're at a you know, one of those conventions of the consultant. I don't want to smear any names or anything.
Right.
But, you know, while we're there, the ratings came out. And, of course, we went from a, you know, fifth, which I wasn't happy about being fifth, down to 12th.
Eek.
And he turns to me and he goes, I think I'm going to have to let you go when you get home. And I went, me? I went, you're the one playing all the fucking songs. What are you firing me for? He goes, well, I just, you know, want to change it up. I'm like, oh, it needs changed up. There's no doubt about it, but not with me, pal. Yeah, so we got back, and of course I walk in on Monday morning and I get summoned to the office. I'm like, oh, here it comes. You know, and I walk into the office and they said, we've let the PD go. He's just going to do mornings. He goes, you're the new interim program director.
Yay.
I went, no shit.
And was that your first PD job?
Yeah. I've been assistant PD and music director for 2 or 3 years. And so I said, starting when? And I said, right now. I went, cool. I'll be in the computer room.
I've got a bunch of deleting to do.
Yeah, and I said, do I have a music director? And they go, yeah, you got to assign one. So I grab somebody on the staff. And I'm like, first thing, go buy shitloads of coffee. And we're going to be here a while.
Cancel all plans.
But it was funny because we had to have a staff meeting and to announce this and everything. So they announce I'm the interim program director. And, of course, the old program director's there, but he's also the morning dude. So I've got all these things in front of me from the promotions director that I got to get taken care of. And one of them was being on the Wheel of Fortune train. And the Wheel of Fortune train was coming through with Pat and Vanna, and the TV station needed an answer at once as to which one of our personalities was going to be on there so they could clear them through security and all this bullshit. So I'm like, well, first off, I said, who wants to do this? And a couple of them raise hands, and I look over at the morning show. I said, you're the obvious choice and the most high-profile show on the station to do this. And he goes, nah. I went, all right, fair enough. And I point over at Sherry, and I went, looks like it's you, kid. She's like, oh, awesome. That's so awesome. And I'm like, sure. I'm glad you're going to enjoy that, you know, and all this stuff. So I go back in and start doing music again, and the general manager, this little mousy fucker, he comes in, and I'm at the computer, and he goes, yeah, Lex, listen, just picture Michael J. Fox. I want Chris to be on that train. And I went, I asked him. He said, no. I'm just sitting there typing. I'm not even looking at him because I had no respect for him. And he goes, you don't understand. I need him on that train. And I'm like, well, then ask him. Yeah, I asked him once. You ask him.
Right.
You know? And he goes, he came to me, and I went, did he? I said, I thought him coming to you is over as of yesterday. He needs to come through me now. And just let him know if he does, the answer's no. With a big fucking no. He's not doing it. I'm not going to tell Sherry, who's actually excited about it and not playing any games. She can't do it, so he can be a fuckface.
I hate that political crap right there like that.
And I said, and by the way, let's clear the air here. Your stock is really, really low right now because you let this bullshit go on for 7 months. So I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm pretty sure of it. So get the fuck out of my office. Jesus.
My last job, the general manager, who had never worked at a radio station before. He was a newspaper person.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. This was fun. And actually had him come in because me and my partner, we were doing a morning show. And my girlfriend heard you call someone a douchebag. And she was in the dentist's office. And could you please refrain from using the word douchebag on the air? Because, you know, she heard that.
And you, of course, said, what's the matter? You're not going to get any pussy if I say douchebag on the air?
That was our new favorite word.
That makes you a douchebag.
Everybody was a douchebag after that.
Oh, God, I would add, like, douchebag bits. It's like, all right, it's 8 o'clock. It's who's the biggest douchebag? We'll need 5 of you to call up and be douchebags. Douchebag, douchebag. Yeah.
It's like, really?
It's like when Jeff Pollock, when Terry and I first came to Dallas, you know, it takes forever to establish in a new show in a new town. It takes forever, you know. Right. So 7 months into it, when the meter's not moving, you know, we've had barely had time for anybody to know our names in the building, let alone outside of it. And, you know, we're sitting brainstorming in the PD's office and Jeff Pollock's in there and he says, maybe you guys should do something, you know, Dallas-y, you know, like some cowboy trivia or something. and I said, and Terry and I looked at each other and kind of smiled and we went, yeah, we'll do cowboy trivia. And then we researched the Cowboys and found everything criminal that they've ever done. I mean, uncovered shit we didn't even know about. And that was our trivia contest. So we come back the next day, you know, it was like, this cowboy sat outside of a playground and looked at little boys hoping he could one day touch them. Who are we talking about? You know, stuff like and, you know, people on the front are like, Raphael Septien? I went, yes! Yeah, I mean, it's just shit like that, just crazy fucking stuff. And the next day, we're walking down the hall. He goes, "I said, hey, Jeff. I said, did you have a chance to catch cowboy trivia this morning?" He goes, "Not exactly what I had in mind." I went, "Yeah, yeah, I know."
Next time, be more succinct.
Yeah,
more to the point.
He goes. Although it was mildly entertaining. I went, you know, it's okay to say it was funny, Jeff. Yeah. Do you want to go into a, you know, sound sequestered room so the PD and GM don't hear you? Because I know you were laughing your fucking ass off. I know you were rolling tape, and I know you're going to play it for everybody in the office when you get home this weekend. Because it was funny as shit. It really was. You know, and...
I remember that trivia you had... It was an appearance we did out at the beach in Jacksonville. I don't remember where, but it was Sam and you had me and Michelle Michaels come up on stage because it was like a sports trivia question, but you guys only asked questions where the answer was Harry Colon.
That's right. Because he was a player for the Jaguars. That's right. Oh, those were the days.
Yes. Remember Aaron getting accosted by Mark Brunell with the turnovers?
Yeah, that was the best ever. Hi, I have a question for you. Lex and Terry would like to know if you'd like these 6 turnovers in celebration of yesterday.
and he threw them at him.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, he did.
Because Aaron got all indignant and everything.
And we're watching it on TV. We're like having second thoughts about it. Going, no.
He did it.
Yeah. So fucking awesome.
Aaron had no shame.
He didn't care. He didn't even know shit about football. He didn't care.
Exactly.
He just walked in there. It could have been, you know, Mark the Butcher. He didn't give a shit. But yeah, he had this horrendous game the day before. And it's like, Lex and Terry would like to know if you'd like to have 6 turnovers in celebration of yesterday's game. I'm talking to Terry on the phone. I'm like, well, I guess we've had our last Jaguars interview. Fucking radio, man.
And that's what makes me sad. At times, it's just really awesome. And it just seems like that's been lost with the whole corporatization of it.
That's so fucking gone. It's so gone. It really is. Yeah.
I remember years ago at a station I worked at, and, you know, if we had gotten arrested, that would have been all of the full-time air staff, except for the midday guy who was very religious. He didn't do such things. But we all snuck out in the middle of the night and went and TP'd another station's tower. We were, like, way up high up on the tower.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes.
I remember there was a guy climbing halfway up the tower one night, and I looked up, and he goes, "I'm not coming down." And I went, "That's okay with me." Good luck.
I remember standing under that tower there on Hogan Road, because that was freaking tall. And I could hear voices occasionally wafting to me. And I'm sitting there, you know, smoking a cigarette. And I'm like, what is that? And then I realized that there's like men like 1,000 feet up in the air. And I was like, I'm glad they didn't drop a wrench or something.
Yeah, that would suck.
You might want to tell people that there's people up there.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some crazy stuff at that location. You know, some guy tried to crawl through a crawl space to get at me when we were broadcasting from the trailer before the building was built. He like tried to come down through the sky thing. He like ripped the whole frame off, and he was like wah, 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 trying to come down. You know, and it's like I'm just looking for stuff to hit him with. And I hit him, and he, like, crawls. I could hear him go down the side, and I, like, opened up the door, and he was running around the side of the building, and the guy next door was, you know, him and his son were just fucking crazy. And the next thing I know, I hear this shotgun blast, and I see a corner of our brand-new building just go off. I'm like, how the fuck did I get here? What is this place? So yeah, it's
being a Florida boy. Do you remember, this would have been mid-90s, that band that was promising? I think they were called Four Squirrels.
Nah.
They had a song out that was doing fairly well. I mean, it wasn't like Nirvana or anything, but they were doing fairly well. And then while they were touring, and they didn't even have a tour bus because they weren't that big yet. They were like in a van, and there was a terrible car accident, and like at least 2 of the guys were killed, thus successfully ending that band's chances at anything.
Yeah, certainly changed and, the name of it.
Yes. And I was with a friend. He was doing overnights at a rock station, and he on the air was telling the story about them dying because it had just happened, and he made a rather crass statement. I don't remember exactly what it was, but just about, I think, kind of what you just said, you know, I guess there's not 4 of them now, something like that. And years later, after moving to Florida, I am hanging out with a new group of friends that I finally made, and I tell this story because seriously, what are the odds? And I tell them what he said, and then there's just silence. as they're all sitting there looking at me, and wouldn't you know, it was like a Gainesville band or something, and everyone sitting at the table knew these people personally.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was like, well, I'm so sorry that we were mocking your friends in another part of the country. So sorry. Because I always do shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean to.
No, nobody means to. That's the thing. But boy, it
I know, but I just seem to do it way more than a normal person does.
Yeah. It's your gift.
I have, however, never, ever asked a woman when she was due when she was not pregnant.
Yeah, I did that.
So I'm sure I'm due for that at some point, asking someone that.
I asked somebody that when I worked at Publix. I went, good morning, ma'am. When are you due? I'm not.
Oh. And he said, I'm a man.
I went, oh. And I just kept bagging groceries, and then all of a sudden I heard my name over the intercom. And the and the manager's doing the come here thing, you know, with this scowl on his face, you know, like with his finger, just come here, like real quick. And I come over, and he goes, even if they're pregnant, don't ask. Just ever. Don't fucking ask.
Words to live by.
And I said, yes, sir. He goes, okay, all right. He goes, I'll smooth it out. I'll tell her I did stuff to you and stuff. I went, okay.
With your finger.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My butt.
In the break room. So you can keep your miserable little grocery job. he actually just liked me, you know. It's like he saved me from the frying pan numerous times. I hit the assistant manager, who was a colossal douche nozzle, in the back of the head with a lemon. The greatest to this day. I've seen Roberto Clemente play baseball, and I've seen Brett Favre play and all that, but nobody had a better throw than I did down that hallway that night. A little 3-foot hallway with a 10 or 11 foot ceiling, and I threw this lemon that stayed 2 inches off the top of the roof all the way down the hall, and blam, right in the back of the head. And I'm like, I was just trying to throw it up on him to fuck with him. You know, I had no idea it was going to go the distance. And it hits me, and I went, oh, shit. I went up and started bagging groceries and everything. And, of course, this guy being the colossal douche that he is, you know, after the store closes, he has us all stand in a line. And he goes, everybody stick their hands out. And he starts smelling hands.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's like borderline creepy and harassment.
And, well, this is like 76, 77, somewhere. Yeah, so he gets to one guy, and the guy, and he like smells twice, and the guy goes, I just cleaned the bathrooms like you said, Mr. Young. And of course, we're all wanting to laugh, but we can't. So he gets down to me, and he goes, well, well, well. Look whose hands smell like lemons. And I went, well, well, well. Look who works in produce. He goes, but your hands happen to smell like lemons. I said, you ever heard of anybody shoving a watermelon down the sink to make it smell good? I said, it's a very pungent smell. I've been dealing with them all night long. He goes, have you?
Ha ha.
And I said, yes, as well as all the other fruits and vegetables we carry. Yes, I mean produce, once again.
But I do spend extra time with the phallic veggies.
And he goes, you're fired. And I went, okay. So, you know, at that point, I really didn't give a shit. So I go upstairs to get my stuff, you know, out of my locker and everything. And the manager comes upstairs. He goes, did you do it? And I went, yeah. He goes, can I ask why? I said, do you really need to? He goes, perhaps not. He goes, does he know for sure you did it, or is he just assuming? I'm like, well, I'm sure he's just hypothesizing I did it, but, you know, between you and I did it. He goes, but he doesn't really know you did it. He goes, cuz, I'm going to have you take 3 or 4 days off, and then I'm going to hire you back. And I went, oh, cool.
Vacation.
You know, so it was pretty funny with Dad that night. He goes, hey, how'd your day go? Something. I said, I got fired. He goes, what? I went, but I got rehired. He goes, oh. He goes, okay. What happened there? I said, just a complete misunderstanding.
Yes.
But it was the greatest throw I've ever had. You take any sport I've ever played, baseball, football, basketball, it was the greatest athletic achievement of my life. I could throw in 10,000 lemons down that hallway and never duplicated what I did on that first throw. It was like, doink! I was like, holy shit! And it's like 30 seconds later, you know, he's walking away. 30 seconds later, they're asking for people to bag groceries. I'm like, what a great idea.
Let me help, please.
But the bathroom guy killed me. It's like, he smelled his hands. He goes, I just cleaned the bathroom just like you asked me to, Mr. Young. Surfer dude. Oh, good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my first job. I guess it's no wonder I ended up in this. So, that's about it. That's it for the job stories. So, anything happening current events-wise that's got you buzzing, that just has got your thoughts going?
I have no idea what's going on in the world. I have completely removed myself from the internet for a little while.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I just did it. I just felt like it. I felt that I needed to.
I get that. How's that
all
feel?
It does is make me mad. I have a lot more time. There's everything I see on Twitter, nothing brings me joy, first of all. You know, the whole point of being online, if you like being online, is because it makes you happy. And nothing really makes me happy. And I'm just seeing stuff that makes me angry. And so I've just removed it from my life.
There's a lot of trolls on Twitter right now.
I think it's only going to get worse.
I don't know.
I've been lucky to not experience it, but
I don't know if it has to do with football season. It seems to be when it really takes place. And then it kind of lightens up.
Well, there's that whole Gamergate thing going on right now. Has anyone explained that to you?
No, what's up with that?
And I don't even know. You know, I've like read numerous articles on it and stuff. Apparently, and so please forgive me if I'm wrong, and I guess someone let me know what I got wrong about it. But there are a few female journalists who specialize in video games, you know, as opposed to like foreign events and stuff. There's the gamer journalists, and a female or two has spoken out about how they feel that women should be included more in video games, and maybe the women that are in video games, like characters, shouldn't, you know, necessarily have tits out to here kind of thing.
Right.
And they have, I know one of the women got so much shit from people online, from guys. Her address and phone number and all kinds of personal information was released about her, and she was getting death and rape threats and actually had to leave her house.
See, apparently, that's when she should have said, you know, I really don't look like that. You guys wouldn't want to rape me. I'm not comic book hot like you think I am.
Well, I don't think that even makes a difference, because what was it after last, not this past, like 2 days ago, Bears game, but the Bears game before, the coach is it Trestman?
Yeah, Mark Trestman's daughter, yeah.
Daughters had been on Twitter, and because the Bears suck so bad, they were getting rape,
yeah.
You know, people on Twitter, I'm going to rape you. I'm going to, you know, stomp on you and rape you again. And it's like, really, guys? I don't even know how old these girls are. If they're high school or college, I don't know.
He's 57. So they're probably in their 20s or somewhere around there. And
it doesn't matter.
And,
I mean,
Andy's one of the nicest people in sports. This is a nice man. This guy is not a douche. He doesn't scream at people. He's not all football-y. He's a real introspective offensive mind. He's a nice man. And he's just one of those guys that win or lose, you can't tell what's happening with the Bears if the camera's on him. You have no idea what's happening in the game by looking at his face. It's the same either way, you know, and that drives people crazy for
that
some reason.
Bears suck.
Yeah, they do suck.
But that's no reason to get online and, you know, tell these young women that they're going to get raped. You know, the girls had to actually make their Twitter accounts private for a while. I don't know if they've made them public again, but, you know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, the FBI's looking into that and all that. I mean, that's bad shit. You know, and how stupid are you when you say something like that to her? Your protocol can so easily be found.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of these people, too, I think are more of the hacker variety who know how to cloak themselves and do stuff. I'm not saying that, you know, they're not going to be unfindable, but they know how to make it more difficult, especially the Gamergate people. You know, they are very internet savvy and know how to do certain things. But do you know who Felicia Day is?
Yes.
She is I'm saying this with respect.
She was on The Apprentice, right? She was a singer.
No, she's like a nerd girl. She's a geek. She's a gamer girl.
Yeah. I'm thinking of
it has the red hair.
Aubrey Day is who I was thinking of. Right. Yeah.
She just a week or two ago wrote an article on her own blog about Gamergate, just saying, you know, how this has affected her and how she's not talking to people about it and stuff. And within, I think, 5 minutes of her posting this, and she didn't rip on anyone. She didn't even really come out and just, I don't know. It was a very nice article talking about her fears of stuff online. And within 5 minutes of her posting this, someone had already, on the comments in her blog, posted her address and her phone number and everything.
Wow.
And Chris Cluey, who is a huge gamer, he posted one of his just ranting letters that he is so awesome at and didn't get a single thing. It's just when women speak out about something on the internet, all kinds of just really shitty things happen to them.
Yeah, that sucks.
And I blame the Republicans and the Christians.
You do?
I think that it starts a lot with that.
You see, I can't. I don't share your vision on that. That to me is just fucking girlless assholey dudes who sit in their fucking basement and play video games, and they're just little spoiled dickheads. You know, whoever.
See, that is the, unfortunately, and I can say, you know, that is what everyone talks about with gamers, exactly that description that you just gave. And the average age of a gamer is like 35. You know, it's the people my age who grew up with Atari and stuff who, you know, still love to play games and stuff. I still do on occasion. I certainly wouldn't qualify myself as a gamer, but, you know, It's not fair to the nice people who do play games.
Yes, it is, because it's a
you play video games. Are you a pimply-faced basement dweller?
No, but
well, there you go.
But I'm not talking about video gamers. I'm talking about that's the faction of video gamers that do that stuff.
Yes, perhaps.
And you know what's out there. You know those people are there. I'm not, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that's everybody, but that's the vocal part of it. That's the inner sanctum, you know, in the face part of it.
But where does it come from? You see it more and more on mainstream news.
It comes from not having a job. That's what it comes from. You have too much fucking time on your hands.
I know, but when you have, you know, a Republican congressman making a comment about legitimate rape and, you know, about how you even your governor there in Texas, you know, he's just a misogynist and he just wants women to be a certain way and does not believe that women have a right to make decisions about their own bodies. And, you know, it's everywhere. And it seems to me to be becoming more and more prominent.
Yeah, not for me. Do whatever the fuck you want with your bodies.
Well, I know that, but you're also, you know, not getting quoted by every news source in and out of the United States.
I truly believe my political views have hurt my radio career to a degree.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're not shared by the people that own radio stations.
I know it's the rich people who, you know, create jobs if you give them tax breaks.
I think I've angered my employers more than once during the Bush era.
Honestly, I think it has more to do with the fact that most of the radio stations you've worked at are down in the South.
Well, that's true too. But they're owned by big major conglomerates. You know, and we're a high profile show on those.
I know, but when you think about most entertainers, you know, and I mean, if you did a poll and asked most celebrities, you know, what their political leanings are, you know, everyone, especially conservative, liberal Hollywood is and everything, I think that you find many more people in the entertainment industry who are liberal than are conservative.
Yeah, and That's a completely untouchable industry out there. For one thing, it's not religious or politically based. It's money based, as the way Hollywood runs.
Which ironically means then it should be run by a bunch of Republicans, but it's not.
No, it does not mean that. You know, Republicans.
If you look at what the average person sitting somewhere in their home right now, if you asked them, yes, you associate Republicans with the money. I realize there are very rich liberals. I know that. But you get the average, normal, unfortunately stupid voter. They think of the Mitt Romneys and the Koch brothers and Rupert Murdoch and everybody who's in your face. Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's there's poor people that think they're awesome.
Yes, because somehow they're creating jobs for us.
There's people without jobs that will vote for them.
Oh, I know. There's women who vote for them.
Yeah, that's the one I really don't get.
Me too.
But, you know, I was raised with a lot of Republican values. But to me, that party split into three different factions right now.
And the majority seems to be the one that's much more religious.
Yeah, very Tea Party-ish, very active, very vocal. You know, then there's one that shares some of those views but don't want to be classified as that. And then there's the moderates that don't even realize they're not Republicans anymore. They're not Democrats, they're not Republicans, they're moderates. And that's a really big fucking crowd.
It is, yet they don't seem to be represented. But I will tell you, if a moderate Republican came along that, you know, actually struck my fancy, I would totally give him or her a chance.
Oh, I was all in on John Huntsman in the last election. I was all in on that dude. He was crazy fucking smart and making all kinds of sense economically, politically, you know, across the board, the guy just had great answers, but he was getting to answer one question a debate. You know, all eyes were on Romney and Rick Perry and right. You know, the circus, but you know, every time this guy spoke, he made sense, and I'm like, I like him. I could vote for him, and he had worked on both sides of the ledger.
The thing I don't understand, and I'll use Romney as an example, and yes, I know he lost and everything. You know, there is a man who is so stupidly rich. He can't empathize with what it is like to truly live paycheck to paycheck.
No, I think he tried. I think he really, really tried, you know, to put himself in that position and literally couldn't. Because every time you heard him speak about it, he would have some sort of gaffe that reminded us he was filthy rich. Yeah,
exactly.
But I think he tried his best to put himself in that position, but he just came off disingenuous.
Well, my issue, and we got to wrap this up because that was 55 minutes. Yeah. When you get elected to political office, whatever you are, and this is just my opinion, is that like if I get elected and I'm a Democrat, I'm a liberal, I have to remember that I am also there are conservatives that will be looking at what I'm doing and stuff. And I don't even mean from a re-election standpoint, but I'm not coming in there and turning everybody liberal. There's a whole bunch of people. So if I'm trying to get, if I were conservative and I'm trying to get my religious values, you know, legislated into law and stuff, they have to remember that there's a whole segment, a giant segment of the population who doesn't share that particular belief system.
Right.
And it just seems like everybody, and this is both Democrats, Republicans, everybody goes in with their agenda. And it has nothing to do with what is probably the best for the people that they represent.
No, I mean, what kills me about elections is they end up being religious and, you know, about religion, about abortion, about all these things, guns, all the stuff that once a person gets in office is such a fucking hot button, they don't want to touch it.
Right.
So they're not going to fuck with abortion when they're president. Either side of the ledger won't, because they haven't. Even a gun-toting, hunting Republican president, once he's in office, just leaves it be. You know,
right.
Because it's just too much of a 50-50 battle. You know, if you do something for the gun lobby, people are going to be throwing people that have gotten senselessly murdered in your face, and they're going to associate you with it, and down with it you go, even though you don't subscribe to any of it. So these guys don't touch abortion. They don't touch guns. They don't touch religion or any of that.
I know,
stuff.
But there's still the state level people, and that's where things are happening. Even in your state, you know, look what's happening to the ability for a woman to get an abortion in the state of Texas.
I know.
And that is a state level thing. And again, it's no different if they're representing, you know, a couple counties in Texas versus, you know, the entire state of Texas in you know, the Senate or something. You've got to look at the people. You've got to do what's best for your people, not because of what you believe.
Yes. I can't wait for the day that somebody goes into office and says, I'm not going to even go down abortion religion road here, kids. I'm not. I'm not wasting an election talking about stuff that you know and I know no president has touched once they've got in there. So let's be grown up about this, shall we?
Right.
You know, let's talk about shit that matters. Let's talk about people needing jobs. Let's talk about our dwindling infrastructure. Let's talk about whether we want to send people to a place and if we get the returns we need by sending people to die far, far away. If we're not getting returns, we shouldn't send them there. This is business. You know, that's the war is business. And if we're not getting valid returns from sending somebody there, we should bring them home.
Agreed.
You know, and that's until somebody talks that way to me, I'm not interested.
I had such high hopes for Jesse Ventura. He kind of seemed like that guy. And then he just kind of putzed out.
Yeah, he got a little full of himself or something. I'm not sure what
but
happened.
But he was that. You know, if you can think back to the very beginning when he was thinking about running and everything. And when he would give his interviews, he was saying stuff that politicians just don't say. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh my God, this is so refreshing and real.
But you can't say things politicians don't say. You lose. So that's the problem.
But he won. He became what? Governor of what was it? Wisconsin? Minnesota?
Minnesota, yeah.
He won on that. I mean, it worked for him. That's why I was excited for him. I was hoping he'd have like more of a national career, but he didn't.
All right. Well, we got to get out of here. Very nice chat, Stacy. You know, talking some good radio stories and some politics, always a lot of fun. And the gaming thing, you really caught my eye with that. I'm going to look into that. Next time I want to talk some web neutrality and stuff like that, because That's something that's going to be fucking huge.
Yeah, see, that is an issue.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, so.
But threesomepodcast.com, folks.
That's where you can find the podcast once it's aired on LT2. The LT2 channel is brought to us by DBC Connections. Drew Hillis and the gang provides us the opportunity to do this for you. And we will do it again for you next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.